Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. That can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today I have the opportunity and the privilege of talking with another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to welcome Alexis to the show. Hey, Alexis, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm okay. Thank you.
So delighted to have you on the show. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself? Who you are, yes. Where you're from, what keeps you busy?
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Alexis Connolly, and I am 57 years old, and I have had a stammer since I was about 3 years old. I live in a little village called Baggington, and it has a population of about 700, so it's really small.
Yeah,
a really small village. I work for the NHS, and I've worked there now for about 25 years. I retired 2 years ago, and I went back to work part-time. I work 3 days, which is really lovely. That gives me the opportunity then to spend time with my family, with my two grandsons.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot going on for you. Now, you said you worked at the NHS?
Yes. I worked there for about 25 years. But when I first worked there, my children were very small. I think Abby was 6, and my son Ashley was about 4. And I got a job there, working first of all as a cleaner, because I thought that was then I wouldn't have to interact and I wouldn't have to talk to anybody, so I thought that would be a good job. Plus also it would fit around my children, so I could be at home and then I could work part-time there. So I did the cleaning job for about 2 years, and then I saw an advert to go and work in ultrasound. So I applied for the job there, not thinking that I would get the job because I'm not very good in interviews, but I went along for the interview. I had an interview and I was offered it, which I was really, really happy about, so that was good. So I went to ultrasound to assist over there, and I worked there for about 10 years, and then I was interested in another area there called fluoroscopy. So I asked if I could train up to work over there. So they sent me on a training course, on a 2-year training course, and I qualified about 7 years ago. I was about 15. So now I'm a radiology assistant practitioner.
Wow.
So my job now is to help the doctors. I go and work in theatres now, and I help with the surgeries.
Wow. Well,
and I love it.
What a career. And just like you said at the beginning, you said you took a job that you didn't think you'd have to talk a lot. And now look at what you've done. All of those positions required you to speak a lot, right?
Yes. Yes. The job I'm in now, 25 years on from joining as a quiet cleaner, mopping floors and cleaning toilets, I now have to interact with the doctors. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But they are all so kind and so good, and they all know that I have a stammer because I'm one of those people that can't hide it. So it's out there. So
Right.
Yeah.
So when you say that they all know about your stammer because you're very open with your stammer, have you ever disclosed to any coworkers?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Every day we have new people come, new doctors come, new doctors, surgeons, and if I haven't spoken to them and they come up to ask me or we just get talking, I always tell them that I have a stammer, and they said, oh, that's fine. And then it's out there then, you know, I don't have to try and hide it, or which I can't anyway. I can't hide it. I just think it takes the pressure off me, and yeah,
I totally get that. Yeah, because like when I disclose, it reduces my anxiety right away, you know, because then I'm not thinking like, oh my God, if I stammer, they're gonna think something's wrong with me. Yes. But it also lessens the anxiety for the listener, right? Because yes, you're like point blank telling them what's going on, so that they won't be surprised and, you know, react in an unkind way. Do you find that?
Yes. I mean, years ago, I would try to hide it because I couldn't bear people's reactions. Their eyes would like, you know, or they'd look at you as if you was a bit odd. And I did find it really hard growing up in my 20s. My stammer made me feel ugly. I was so insecure. It was awful, because back then it was really bad. My stammer was really bad, and I was very, very shy, so I didn't really talk very much. I spoke if I had to.
Answer
a question.
Yeah, and I get that, right? Because you don't stammer if you don't talk, you know. So that's one of the tricks that we use, right?
Yes.
So what changed? I mean, how did you go from, you know, having a more pronounced stammer when you were younger to you know, a stammer that's maybe a little easier for you to manage now? What changed?
Well, I hit about the age, and I can remember this so well. I hit about 42 or 43. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, my stammer wasn't so harsh, and I found that I could control it. I think I came to an age where I didn't care what people thought anymore. I thought, you know, I've been through my 20s and my 30s, scared to talk, hiding, and I thought, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. I am who I am, and I have a stammer, and I don't care what you think anymore. And then it became easier when I didn't care about people's reactions or their perceptions about me. I am who I am, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then it was easier.
Isn't that just a joyful realization when you get there?
Yes. It is just, I must admit, I look back and I do wish that I had the mindset that I had back then. You know, I am who I am. That's it.
Yeah. I like how you say that. You know, I am who I am. Take it or leave it. Like I'm not changing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what was it like growing up? Did you have any speech therapy?
I did have some when I was about 10 years old. But I'm going back now. It was probably about 1973. Mm. And back then, they had me speaking like a robot, which does work. But I thought, I can't go around speaking like this. It sounds even worse. And then people would look at me. And then I had some more speech therapy about 83. I was about 20, but even then so that was the only speech therapy I had. But I have joined, to this day I have joined an online stammering group called Stand Up to Stammering. And it is so wonderful. The groups in the UK, so it's in England, mm-hmm. and there are so many wonderful people on there. Mm-hmm. And we're always interactive and we post videos and we chat. It's really good. I really like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, meeting other people who stammer either in person or through video, it just helps make you less isolated, right?
Yes. I mean, growing up, I didn't know anyone else who had one, you know, back in the 70s. I was the only one. So when I found this online group, I was also part of the BSA, the British Stammering Association, and it was on that site there where I first met Phyllis Edwards. Phyllis is just, she's so inspiring and she's so full of energy. She's lovely. Yeah, so me and Phyllis now have become firm friends now, been good friends for 3-4 years.
That's wonderful. I've met Phyllis, of course, not in person, but through some of the women's chat groups and whatnot. And she's also done a podcast chat with me. And I can just tell that she's a wonderful person, but also once she accepted her stammering and met other women, especially who stammer, it just seemed to open her right up, right?
I know. She said where she comes from, New Zealand, that there wasn't any support groups over there. I find that quite odd that she had to fly all the way over to England to be at this conference. I find it so odd, but she's so happy and she's always like posting, and she posts comments, and she's always so positive, and she's lovely.
Yes, and she says the same about you. It's just so lovely to hear that two women by chance happen to meet over stuttering, or you know, and the friendship blossomed.
Yeah, she is. She's lovely.
Now, how did she find out about the BSA conference in England?
I'm not quite sure. I think she was on the internet, like I was. I haven't heard about it either, and I'm from England, so I only happened to see it one day. So I joined the BSA, and that year I was planning to get married that year, and I put on the BSA website how anxious I was and about how nervous I was about saying them. And Phyllis must have seen that I put that post up, and she answered it and said, "Oh, Alexis, you'll be fine. And don't worry." And from that poster there, we became firm friends. So I think we both found about the BSA conference while we was on there chatting. And she hadn't been to England also, and she didn't know where it was. And she asked where I was going to be over at the conference. And I told her which hotel we were in, and she asked me if I would book it up for her and her husband also. So I said yeah. So I told her which one we were in, and she booked it up with her husband, and she flew over, and we met up that evening, the four of us, for something to eat. Yeah, and we chatted, and we just got on. Lovely.
Not only is it lovely, but the fact that your husbands, you know, came with you and joined you for dinner and, you know, seem absolutely supportive of both of you. It's wonderful.
Yes, he is. My husband Sean, we met July 2017. We met through the internet. yes, he's been absolutely wonderful. He is so supportive. When I met him, I wouldn't talk on the phone. I would avoid speaking on the phone. I would ask anybody to make that call for me or to answer it. And I think I must have asked him, I said, "Oh, would you ring up such and such?" And he says, "You do it." I said, I can't. He said, you can. Just pick up the phone and speak. And I think one day I actually thought, you know what, you're going to have to. So I picked the phone up, and I'm not sure who I was calling, but I actually told them that I had a stammer, and they said, "Oh, that's fine, that's fine." And it was okay. I was fine.
So he is so supportive.
He says, you can, Alexis. Stop saying you can't do this, you can't do that. You can. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
That's wonderful. You know, and I recall from the beginning of our conversation that you named both of your children names that begin with A, you know? So,
I find it easy to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you do that purposely because your name begins with an A?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. I purposely call them Abby and Ashley because I found those easier to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And what do they think of their mom? You know, stammering.
We don't really talk about it because it's funny because I'm so calm, I'm so relaxed. I hardly stammer. It's only when I get anxious. But they actually did, for both of them, started to stammer when there was about three, but they both grew out of it.
Did that scare you that they might continue?
Yes. I was so scared because I thought if they have one, they're going to go through what I had. But as I say, back then in 1973, there was no support. There was no help. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if they get one, if they don't grow out of it, I knew that there was so much support and help and online groups, and there was so much support. So I thought, well, if they have one, they will be okay, just as I am.
Yeah, and what better parent to have for children that stammer than having a mom who stammers? Because you know, you can tell them that you know what it's like and be super supportive.
Well, when they were smaller, when they were probably 6 and 8, because there's 2 years apart, whenever we had to go out, and if I was trying to ask for anything and I couldn't get it out, they would say it.
Oh, yeah, they were trying to help you out.
Yeah, they would like say the word, or they'd go into a shop and they'd ask for something. I think it's because they grew up with it, they don't know anything else. And I think when you don't know anything else, you don't really, you know, question it.
Right.
Because to them, it was normal.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to go back also on another point that you made. You know, you said that when you were going to be married, you wrote in the BSA group and you felt that you were scared about saying your vows. So what did you do to make that happen?
Well, we got married in a registry office, and we went along beforehand and we spoke to the lady who was going to marry us, and I said about the problem I had with my stammer, and she said, well, if you wanted me to, we could say them together. So she helped me by saying it with me, but she said it very, very quietly. So she was in front of me, and when it was my turn to say the words, she said them very quietly. And it's odd because when you talk with someone else, you can bizarre. And I was perfectly fluent, and she was so helpful. She was really lovely. But it was such a small part of the day. I wanted to get that bit over with, and then you can relax and carry on. So it's just a small part of the day, but she was lovely.
And all that was a beautiful. That was a beautiful gesture.
Yes,
for her to do that. So wow, like, you know, it just serves as a reminder for us that stammer that, you know, we make it much more of a big deal than other people do, right?
I am awful. I am terrible. My husband always says, you just build this thing so much in your head, he said. And in reality, people don't care, you know? People really don't care that you have one. And I have to say, the absolute majority of people I speak to at work, on the phone, anywhere, they really don't. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who cares, and I'm the one who builds it up in my head. And it's not, people don't care.
Right. They have their own issues, right?
Absolutely. They have their own issues and insecurities. And you think you're the only person that this huge thing, and people have to put up, or not put up with, but they have their own issues, and this is just a small part, and it isn't who we are, and it does not define us. We are so much more than our stammer.
Yes, amen. You're absolutely right. You know, and so what popped into my head right now was one of the things that I often think about when I talk with people, you know, especially like new people that I'm meeting for the first time. I get the feeling that my authenticity, meaning being open, if I do that, first of all, people like really respect that. But secondly, when I am open, it invites them to be open as well. And yes, our vulnerability kind of like transfers over to them, and maybe gives them permission to share something about themselves that was personal.
Yes, I find that when I am open with someone and I say, I have a stammer, and they're like, oh, that's fine. And then you get talking, and then they tell you about their insecurities or their, you know, it opens up for people then to talk to you about what they find, you know, hard or difficult. Yeah.
And I almost think that's a gift that we have, because, you know, we're not, you know, purposely trying to share some deep dark secret. It happens automatically when we speak. You know, so
I mean growing up, I know I keep going back to when I was growing up, but back then nobody spoke about it, no one had heard about it, you know, it wasn't out in the open. And I want today, I want stammering to be open and spoken about it. And because for years I felt awful, I felt bad, I felt ashamed, I felt awful that I had to try and hide it, even though I couldn't hide it. Awful. So I want now to be spoken about every day, and it's okay to stammer, you know, there's no harm in it. We're not, you know, it's okay to stammer. That's what I should say.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased that I have come to this age. I'm 57 years old, and I can say it's okay if you stammer. You know, we can say what we want to say, and we can get our, you know, opinions over. It may take us a little bit longer, but we get there.
Yes, yes, and it's like a weight lifted off your shoulders, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, yes, yes. Mm.
So you feel lighter, and yes, you feel like you're not coming.
You're not hiding.
Yes.
You're not walking around with this great big eternal weight, scared, yep, that someone will overhear you in the shop, or I don't care anymore. People look at me in the shop when I'm trying to say a word. I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. And I'll walk out that shop and I will never see you ever again. So I don't.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care.
Wow.
How you gonna be? Wow. You've got to be, you've got to not care anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you're there. You're at that place, you know. You're smiling. I can see you smile. I can hear you smiling, you know. And when people go into a relationship or any interaction, if we're smiling and look comfortable, you know, that's what we're going to get in return from the other person, right?
Yes. When I first met my husband, Sean, like I said, I met him on the internet, and we were speaking, and then we arranged to meet up. So we met up over a coffee. One of the first things he said was, "Do you always speak like this?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "I have a stammer. Do you have a problem with it?" He said, "No, no. I just thought I would ask." And then 3 weeks after we first met for coffee, he asked me to marry him. So
in 3 weeks,
he obviously wasn't that bothered. Yeah.
Wow.
And we celebrate our third anniversary this year. I am the happiest I've ever been ever.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's just a wonderful story.
Yeah.
So to begin winding down, what advice or piece of insight would you give to a young woman who's just starting on her journey with maybe trying to accept stammering?
What I'm trying to do is look back at the young person that I was. And I just don't want you to be the person that I was. Don't be the person I was. Don't be too scared to change your job, to get out of a bad relationship. Don't put up with anything. I put up with far too much because I thought I was not good enough. You know, when you are good enough and you deserve more, I could cry for the girl that I was. I could cry for all the rubbish that I put up with when I was younger. You are more than good enough. You are more than capable. You are far more than your stammer. Don't let it hold you back, and do not let it ever control you ever. And don't care what people say. It doesn't define you, and you can do anything. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. Do not let your stomach control you. And I do wish I had somebody tell me that when I was back then. Smile, hold your head up and keep talking, because it will get easier. It does. So, and be happy and smile. Even if you're having a bad day, smile through it, because it will make you feel better. Don't let your stomach control you.
Wow.
Keep smiling.
I could not have said that any better. And, you know, people that are listening to this are going to be so inspired by your heartfelt sharing of what it's been like. So, you know, for sure, like, please know that you're going to help so many people by being as honest as you just were.
I hope so.
Yeah.
In fact, I've gotten all emotional. I feel like I could cry for all these young people.
Yeah. Well, Alexis, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. When Phyllis first said, "You must go on," I was like, "There's no way." I'm so happy that I have, and my stomach is not in control.
Yes. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.